Hey, good morning. Are we live, Paul?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So may our learning be a merit. Levi Nishmas Chaya Meira Nachama Bracha Bas Reb David Mordechai. And today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph, page 111 in Masechet Chulin. We are dealing with two organs of the animal that are somewhat interesting, and that is the udder and the liver. The udder has the issue of milk in it. It's not really milk because the milk never came out of the animal in its lifetime, but it something that looks like milk gets confused with milk. And the liver has the problem of a lot of blood. We're also talking about in the Mishnah, we're talking about the hearts of chickens. They also have a problem of a lot of blood. Okay, so we are on Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph. What we had last seen was that Abaye told Rav Safra, when you go up to the land of Israel, ask them about liver. So when he got to the land of Israel, he met Rav Zrika, who told him, I cooked liver for Rav Ami and he ate it. When he came to Rav Ami, and when Rav Safra came to Abaye and he told him, so Abaye said, listen, I know that the liver itself is permitted because the liver is so busy releasing blood, it doesn't have time to absorb anything. My question is, what about the liver ruining other things? So Rav Safra said, well, if you know that the liver itself can't absorb, you know the Mishnah in Trumos, so you should know the other part of the Mishnah of Trumos, that the liver can ruin other things. So Abaye said, well, the Mishnah in Trumos could be dealing with the liver of a prohibited animal. And when we're talking about prohibiting other things, we're prohibiting other things with the fat of the liver. Mishum damamai. But my question is, what about the blood of a liver? Is the blood of a kosher liver going to ruin other things when it goes out of the liver and goes into another piece of meat? Will it ruin the other piece of meat? So therefore, we're at that point, we're on the first line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Ki hadar salik, so when Rav Safra went back from Babel, went back up to Eretz Yisrael, we're in the first line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Ash chel Reb Zrika. So again, he met Reb Zrika, had given him the answer the first time. Amaleh, Reb Zrika. So this is now Rav Safra asked again. Would a kosher liver ruin other pieces of meat? Do we say that blood that goes out of the liver ruins other pieces of meat, or maybe blood doesn't get absorbed? I'm a laser of Zika Center of Safra. This is also shouldn't be a question for you. Dana for I, Vyanai Bred Reb Ami, and Yanai the son of Reb Ami. Iklan Lebe Yehuda Bred Reb Shimon Pazi. We once came to the house of Reb Yehuda, the son of Reb Shimon Pazi. Ukrivolan, and he brought for us Kanya Bekufe. He brought us the reed, namely the windpipe, the trachea, with everything attached to it. So everything was attached to this trachea of the animal. Apparently, it had all been cooked together. So you have the trachea, and then it goes into the lungs. So there was a lung on it, and besides the lung, then there was a heart on it, and then besides the heart, there was a liver on it. So apparently, they were all cooked together, and you could eat it. You could eat the heart. You could eat the lung. So it must be that the blood that comes out of the liver does not go into the other pieces of meat and prohibit them. So that should resolve your question.
And the lung too, Rabbi?
Lung, yeah, he ate all three. He ate the lung, the heart.
The lung was not kosher, is it?
No, it's kosher.
It is?
Yeah, he ate it all. So you see that the blood that goes out of a liver doesn't prohibit other meat, and the blood and the liver itself doesn't become prohibited because since it's so busy releasing blood, it can't then reabsorb. So the Gemara says, Maskefla Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi challenged this story. Itam Rav Shmuel Mazru, Rav Shmuel from Zrukinia said, one second. How do you know that that means that the blood going out of the liver is not going to prohibit the other organs? Maybe the way this trachea with all these other things attached to it was cooked was in a way that no blood would go from organ to organ, because maybe Dilma Pikana Chutzlakteira Hava. Maybe the mouth of the trachea was outside of the pot. So blood went from the liver up into the trachea, and then it came up and went out of the pot. Sort of like a straw. You know, you have all the liquids flowing up through the straw. And maybe that's what happened, right? The blood went, you know, from the liver into the trachea and then into the lungs and into the trachea of the lungs, and then it went out of the pot. And that's why nothing became prohibited. But if you were to take liver and other organs and put them into a pot and actually cook them all together, the blood of the liver is going to go out. It's going to go into those other organs, and maybe other organs do absorb blood and they become prohibited. So that's not a proof. The fact that somebody once served a trachea that had attached to it liver, lungs, and heart doesn't mean that the blood of the liver won't prohibit anything else. Maybe the blood of the liver will prohibit other things, but the way this was positioned in the pot, it wasn't going to create any problems because the blood wasn't going to get into anything else. It's going to ultimately just pour out of the pot. Inami, alternatively, there is this process called chalita, singeing. The process of chalita is very interesting. Normally, heat takes tastes out of an item. But we're going to say that if you drop something right away into boiling stuff, so that sudden sharp contrast of cold or room temperature to boiling seals everything in. It seals the tastes in. So maybe that's what happened here. This, the reason why they could eat the organs that were on the trachea that was that had attached to it liver, was inami alternatively michlet havachalot lemeikara. They dropped all this meat from the beginning into something boiling. So that sealed the blood into the liver, and therefore the blood of the liver couldn't go spread into the other organs. Now you can either drop it into boiling water or into vinegar. And that makes it impossible for any of the...
Even in the blood stays in
correct.
In the liver.
So look at Rashi, right? The blood stays in the liver. And Rashi's going to look at the Rashi. Rashi says, Inami chalitav meikara. Alternatively, they initially singed this item, right, in boiling water. Vinis bashal dama betocho, and the blood was cooked inside of it. Kedei shelo yiflot od, and therefore it will not be able to be spread out further. Kishi vashku imacha, when they would cook it with the other pieces of meat. And the blood that's absorbed inside of it, mutter, is permitted, calls man shelo yatsa, so long as it has not gone out. Rashi tells us an interesting thing, that blood only becomes prohibited once it gets out of its natural spot, at least in a liver. But in this liver, since the blood never got out, it was just cooked in there, so it stays permitted. So the blood that's inside stays permitted because it stayed in its original spot. And it never gets out because it was singed in boiling water or boiling vinegar. And that was the case when people could bring to Reb Zrika liver, heart, and lungs. But maybe generally, if you didn't first do chalit on the liver, if you didn't first drop the liver into boiling water or boiling vinegar, if you were to take liver, put it in a pot, and put in that pot a piece of meat, and now cook everything, blood's going to go out of the liver. And blood gets absorbed, and blood is gonna ruin the other piece of meat.
But Rabbi, here the liver is attached to the lung.
Good.
But in chicken, the liver is individual.
Okay.
So if you cook that chicken liver, it's intact.
Okay.
You know, it has a like cover on it.
Membrane.
So that is kosher to cook. Because the blood stays inside, it won't go out.
Oh, we'll see. Okay, let's see. Right, this Gemara, at this point, they're saying that the blood that stays inside is permitted. We'll have to see what the halach is in terms of liver, ultimately. Okay, now, how do we know that such a thing would work, that dropping it into boiling water initially is going to prevent anything from being discharged, and thereby it can cook it with other things? The other Rav Huna, like with the story of Rav Huna, chalti lebechala, they used to take liver, drop it into vinegar before they cook it, and in that way, none of the blood would get out. And Rav Nachman, they used to drop liver into boiling water, and that way none of the blood would get out. And maybe that's what happened here. There was chalita, and chalita would mean that none of the blood would get out, and that's why they were able to then cook it with other things. So the Gemara now says, the Savar Rav Papa, Kamed Rav Lameimar, and Rav Papa was thinking when he was sitting in Rava to say, Chala Asir, if you drop the liver into, you know, vinegar, so it's true that the vinegar is going to squeeze the blood into the liver and not allow it to spread, but the vinegar itself becomes prohibited. Amale, so Rava said to Rav Papa, he said back to Rav Papa, Ichala Asir, if the vinegar would become prohibited, Iunami Asir, then the liver would become prohibited. Because Giechid de Palat, because the same way we're saying at the very beginning, when you drop it into the boiling material, a little bit of blood goes out, but also Hadar Bala, a little bit of blood is going to be absorbed by the liver. So therefore, no, the same way the liver is permitted, because none of the blood spreads, the vinegar is also permitted.
Yeah, but the vinegar is more being used, or salt?
We're going to get to salt later today. We're going to get to salt later. The very interesting idea that we've mentioned here is this idea called chalita, that you can take something, drop it into boiling water right away, and if it dropped right away into boiling water, the boiling water will singe it and keep the liquids in and not allow the liquids to spread once they are cooked with something else. So Rav, the son of Shva, Ikla Be'er of Nachman, he was once a guest at the home of Rav Nachman. Aisulei Kav Deshlika, they brought him some liver that had been dropped into boiling water this is not chalut, this is shaluk. Shaluk means it was the opposite, it was boiled tremendously, it was boiled a lot. So they brought him some liver that had been boiled a great deal. Okay, so he wouldn't eat it, because he felt that if you boil something, tastes go out, tastes go back in. Amrulei, so they said to Rav Nachman, Barbe Rav Dulagav Loachel, this yeshiva man who's inside is not eating. In other words, this yeshiva student, he's more strict on food than you. And who is it? It's Rav Bar Shva. So Amr Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman got upset. He said, listen, we're going to teach him a lesson. Gamul Shaba. You know, open up his mouth and force the food down for this guy. You know, he thinks that my kitchen's not kosher? If we're serving the food, it's kosher.
Wow.
Kitanoi. So this question... Yeah, he's also at his Rebbe's house. Yeah. Rav Nachman, right, is the chief rabbi of all the Jews of Persia, so it's quite a thing to not eat that food. So, Kitanai, this question about liver that's overcooked, shaluk, is really machlokas tanoim. It's an argument of the tanoim. Rebbe Lezer, Amr Lezer says, HaKavid Oseres, liver that's cooked with other meat, it prohibits other meat, but it itself does not become prohibited. Why? As we saw earlier, that's because it's busy to release blood. And since it's busy to release blood, it doesn't have the capacity to absorb blood. Vena bolas, it cannot absorb. However, Bishmal ben Oshra Yochman Broko, or Bishmal the son of Rabbi Yochman Broko, says the same way that if the liver would have been mituveles, if the liver would have had lots of spices, oseres, it would prohibit other meat, vineseres, and it would become prohibited too, because if it's spiced up, it becomes soft. And if it becomes soft, it also can absorb back some of the blood that it's releasing. So too, shluka, the same is true if it's overcooked. If it's cooked a great deal, oseres, of course it can prohibit other pieces. And aseres, it also becomes prohibited because when shaluk, it's overcooked, you're cooking and cooking and cooking. So it's true at the very beginning of the cooking, it's busy to release. It doesn't have the bandwidth to absorb. But since it's overcooked, at a certain point, it's overcooked, and now it can absorb again. So that was what was going on here. In other words, Rav Bar Shva came to the house of Rav Nachman. He saw overcooked liver. So he figured, like Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, if it's overcooked, so at the beginning it was treaty liflot, it was busy letting go, and now it was overcooked, so now it could absorb back. So it had absorbed blood back, and it became prohibited. And Rav Nachman said, no, the same way that when you cook liver with other pieces of meat, it'll ruin other pieces of meat, but the liver itself is okay, because since the liver is busy releasing, it doesn't have the capacity to absorb. Even with overcooking, it's still busy releasing, and it doesn't absorb. All right, so now we're going to move from talking about the liver to talking about the simponos. The simponos are these little capillaries and arteries, right? Little vessels that are inside of the liver. So Rabbi the son of Rav Huna, Iklud Bei Rabbi Bar Rav Nachman. He was once a guest at the home of Rabbi the son of Rav Nachman. Aisu lekamei tlasavi tachay. They brought before him three sa'ah of very clean flour bread that had been smeared with oil and honey. Amrule, so Rabbi Rav Huna said to the people of Rabbi Rav Nachman, Mi yavi yad itu da'asina. Did you know I was coming that you prepared such a big meal? Amrule, so they said back to Rabbi Rav Huna, Mi adifat lan mina. What do you mean? You think we prepared the big meal for you? We prepared the big meal for Shabbos. Do you think you're better to us than her? Namely, from the Shabbos queen. The Sivit, it says about her, V'karasal Shabbos Oneg, and declare about Shabbos, it is a delight. Shabbos is the great delight. So Adahachi, so while they were still, in this conversation, Ashkach, so Rabbi Rav Huna realized that there was Ahukavda, that there was some liver there. Davba Simpona Dabliya Dama, that had arteries that were still filled with blood. Amaluhu, so he said to his host, Rabbi Rav Nachman, Amayev Disuacha, why do you leave these arteries filled with the blood? You're not allowed to eat blood. Amaluhu, they said, Elahechanam, what do you want us to do with it? I mean, that's the way it is. It has these vessels that get filled with the blood inside of the liver. Amaluhu, so he said to him, I'll tell you what you should do. Kiru, you should tear open the liver, Shtiva Erev, back and forth, Vechitucha Latachas. And then when you're roasting it, make sure that where you cut is on the bottom, so that all the blood through the roasting will drain out. Vahani mili, now such a thing that you have to tear it vertically and horizontally before the roasting, that's only true in kavda, in the liver. Aval tchala. When you deal with the spleen, even though it also seems to have a lot of blood, it doesn't have so much blood, and therefore it's shumna ba'almahu, it's very fatty, so it looks like it has a lot of blood. Ki yad Shmuel, like this with Shmuel, avdulei tavshila de tachli biyoma David milsa, they used to make for him a dish of cooked spleen on the day that he would do bloodletting. And they weren't worried about there being so much blood and that it be like liver. And they said, no, it's okay. They could cook the spleen. The spleen is mostly fat and not mostly blood. Is tchal a spleen? Yeah, right? Yeah. It's a spleen, yeah. Tchal.
About the chalita is the same concept as you can eat the raw meat, raw piece of meat. Technically, you're allowed to eat unta, the raw piece
right.
of meat. Why? Because the blood hasn't left the meat yet. If one of us has left the meat, it's not forbidden blood.
Interesting.
So the meat,
and it won't leave it because it gets sort of gets stamped by this cooking process. When you go right away into boiling water, the blood gets stuck inside.
Yeah, that's the idea. We don't do chalita today because people don't know how to do it properly, but the halacha.
Right. That's right. Okay, so now we're going to about roasting liver and udders with other pieces of meat. So Itmar, we learned the following lesson in the Beis Medrash. Kavda ilve bisra shari. If a person puts on a spit, liver, and then underneath that he puts on the spit meat, and he roasts it. It's all okay. Why? Because dama mishrik sharik, it's the nature of blood to slip out. So the blood's not going to get absorbed into the meat, it's going to slip out of the meat. However, if you put on the spit udder, and then underneath the udder you put meat, and you put it on one spit into the fire, usr, it's not allowed. My time, why? Because chalav, this milk type thing that comes out of the udders, yeah, but it's not literally milk, but it looks like milk. Sruche misrach, it sticks. It sticks to the meat, and therefore the meat's going to look like milk and meat, and therefore you can't have it. However, Avdimi min Harda masni ipcha. Avdimi from Naharda, he taught the opposite. Chali ilve bisra, to have udder on the top of the spit, and beneath that on the spit, to have meat, shari, that is allowed. My time, a why, as Gabriel reacted, chelev shchuta, because that's the milk of something which is already dead. It's not milk. It's only an iser drabanan. Since it's only an iser drabanan, we're only worried. It's only iser drabanan, so we're not worried that it's going to happen here, right? Maybe you got it out of the roasting before the milk splattered down into the meat underneath it. So it's only a chashash, it's only a fear. So in an iser drabanan, in a rabbinic prohibition, we can be lenient and not be afraid of it. But kvedil vebisra, but when you talk about liver on top of the spit and beneath the liver on the spit is another piece of meat, also that's allowed because dabdo raisa. Here we're talking about a biblical prohibition of blood. You have to be worried that the blood gets absorbed in the meat. Tarash mereimar taught ilchas al halacha is pein kvedo vein chala, whether we're dealing with liver or udder, tute bisra, underneath the meat, shari is allowed. Ilve bisra, if you put them on top of the meat and you put the spit into the fire, the evidence, if it was already done, it's okay. L'chatchila lo, but as a first choice, you shouldn't do so. Rav Ashi, Ikhle Bey, Rami Bar Abba Chamua. Rav Ashi came to the home of Rami Bar Abba, who was his father-in-law. Chazi Lebrei Rami Bar Abba, so he saw his brother-in-law, the son of Rami Bar Abba, Dikashapid Kveda, that he was putting on a spit liver, Ilve Bistra, on top of a piece of meat. Amar, so he said, Kama Yoyer Haimer Rabbanan, how arrogant is this Torah scholar? When did the Rabbanan say that such a dish is permitted d'yevet, if it was done? But they say you can go do it as a first choice. Okay, that was the story. So, now we said what would be allowed l'chatchila is to put meat first, and then underneath the meat, liver or udder. Now, says the Gemara, v'ikabedugi, and if underneath the spit, right, the bottom of the spit is like a stick, and from the bottom it's like some type of a basin that collects what drips, and then you use what drips as schmaltz. We're getting close to Pesach, you know, you use the fat for, you know, base for your dishes. So, v'ikabedugi, and if you have something there on the bottom to collect it, then bistra ilve kveda nami aser. Even if you had on the top of the spit meat and underneath the spit you had liver, it's still going to be a problem. Why? Because everything's going to drain down to that basin, and you're going to have in that basin you're going to have blood from the liver mixed with fat from the meat. So the Gemara asks, umayshna midama de bistra. Why is it only a problem of having a liver there? Why is it any different than the blood of the piece of meat also? So Gemara says, Dama de bisra shachin, the blood of a regular piece of meat. Let's say you just have a piece of meat on a spit with this basin on the bottom. That's okay, because the blood and the fat of this piece of meat, the blood's going to sink down to the bottom of the basin, and the fat's going to rise to the top. So when you take out stuff from the basin, you're just going to get fat and leave the blood there. But Dama de kveda, but the blood of liver is itself light. It's kappa. So since it's light, if you're cooking on a spit a piece of meat as well as liver, so the blood of the liver is going to gather in this basin on the bottom of the spit. And since the blood of the liver is light, it's going to rise to the top. And so when you take the liquid out of the basin, you're going to be taking a liquid of fat with blood. And therefore, it would be a problem. People are going to be ingesting blood.
The regular meat, wasn't that already salted? And
right. But even though it was salted, apparently there's still some blood. You don't have to salt what you roast, though.
And then why would the blood be different?
I don't know why biologically blood of a liver is different than...
It looked like more light.
I mean, I always thought with liver it's that there's so much blood because the job of the liver is to clean the blood that, you know, you can't ever salt it out. But maybe when there's such a huge concentration, there are also different types of blood and some of it is light and rises to the top of fat and others sink to the bottom. Okay, so till now we were talking about liver, the liver itself, the liver impacting other pieces of meat, and now we're going to talk about blood impacting utensils. The knife that you use for shechita, aser lachtoch bo roseach, you're not allowed to use it to cut any boiling food. Why? Two interesting points here. Number one, that during the shechita, even though there's no heat, presumably in the shechita, you're just slicing, there is actually heat. The animal has blood in its veins that are hot. And the base hashechita roseachu, the place of the shechita, is like a boiling area. So that's number one. And number two, we saw all these issues. Does blood get absorbed? Blood is slippery. That's another point that, no, since during the shechita there's a lot of blood and it's boiling that area, the blood taste actually gets absorbed into the knife. So now that there's blood taste in the knife, I can't use the knife to cut, I don't know, a boiling potato or a boiling piece of meat because that blood taste is going to go out from the knife into the other hot item. Now, what happens if you cut with a knife of shechita tzonin? You cut something cold, so really the taste doesn't go out, but nevertheless, amri le bayadacha, the sages say, you still need to wash off this cold item because there may have been some blood on the knife. Amri le lo bayadacha, others say you don't need to wash off the cold item. Okay, so this was talking about shechita. We said beis hashechita roseach, the place of the slaughtering is boiling hot, and so the blood that's there gets absorbed into the metal knife. I'm reviewing Amar Shmuel, reviewing the name of Shmuel. Kara shemalach babasar. If you have a bowl that you salt in it meat, so now we have salt. So now also lechol baroseach. Now you can't eat in that bowl any boiling hot food, because since you had salt, the salt makes it boiling hot. Since the salt makes it boiling hot, the tastes of the blood get into the walls of the bowl. So if you eat something else boiling in that bowl, you're going to end up eating something prohibited. It'll have taste of blood in it. Shmuel tamei, this is Shmuel being consistent. Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel holds maliach areyu. Kiroseach, what's boiling, what's salted very sharply is the same as boiling. Kavush, something which is soaked. Now Rashi says kavush means soaked in vinegar. So kavush, something which is soaked, that's the equivalent of cooking, it also causes absorption. Kiyasa, Ravin, when Ravin came from the land of Israel, to Babel, to Persia, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, he said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Maliach eino kiroseach, salting is not like boiling. Isaac Mazel Tov, welcome. Isaac had a baby girl on Friday. So big simcha this morning, Baruch Hashem. So Ki Asa, when Rabin came from Eretz Israel to Babel, he said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Maliach Enoke Roseach, salting it doesn't make it boiling. V'chavosh Enoke Mevushal, and soaking it in vinegar doesn't make it cooked. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, other Rabin Lessa, what Rabin said is wrong. Dai Pinka, because there's this earthenware bowl, Agabe Rabami, which was in the house of Rabami, the Malach Babisra, and Rabami salted meat in it, the tavern, and he broke it. Why did he break it? Because it's earthenware. Earthenware you can't kosher. Apparently the taste went in. How'd the taste go in? It wasn't anything hot, it was salty. Apparently salt is like boiling. It's like heat. Mech, let's take a look. Rabbi Ami, Talmud Rabbi Yochanan Havar. Rabbi Ami was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. My Talmud Havar. Why is he breaking the bull? Lavi Shem Deshami Leim Der Rabbi Yochanan. It must be that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan. Damar Meliach, Rabbi Yochanan Roseach. That salt, it is like boiling. And therefore, Ravin is wrong. Yes, Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana was sitting. Achud Rabbi Yehuda, the brother of Yehuda, Kamed Rabbi Yehuda, in front of Rav Huna, Yosef and Carmen, he was sitting and saying like this: "Kahara shemalach babasar, a bowl that you salt in it meat. Asulechol baroseach, you can't use this bowl to eat boiling food in it because the boiling food is going to take the taste out of the walls." And he said another halach: "Utznon shechatcho besakin. Let's say you have a knife that has meat taste in it, and you use that knife to cut a radish. So a radish is called davar charif, something sharp." And something sharp can pull taste out of a knife. Nevertheless, even though it was a meat knife with which you cut your radish, mutulechlo bekutach, you're allowed to eat the radish in cheese sauce.
Because it's cold, no?
My time of why? So I'm Rabbi, Rabbi explained. Hi, when you have a radish being cut with a meat knife, hetera bala. The taste of the meat from the knife that goes into the radish is all permitted. It's all meat. Hi, but when you have a bowl that was used for salting meat, isurabala, it absorbed the taste of blood, which is prohibited. Samale Rava, Sarava said to Abai, I don't understand. Kibala, tera mayhavi, who cares if the radish absorbed permitted tastes? Sof, so what? Hayater dasli de isurahu, de isura ka'achil. By the time you're eating the radish in cheese sauce. So okay, the radish has meat taste, so it's meat with cheese. It should be prohibited. Amar Rava, so Rava said, the reason Rav Kahana is like this. Hi, when you have a radish that was cut by a meat knife, why can you use it in your cheese sauce? Efshel mitameh, you can have somebody taste it. Somebody could take the radish and eat it, eat half of it. And they'll say, I don't taste any meat in it. Okay, so then you know it doesn't have meat. Then you can put the other half into cheese sauce. Hi, but when you have a bowl that you used to salt meat in it, so the blood of the meat gets into the walls of the bowl, what are you going to do? Now put in some soup and have somebody taste to see if there's any blood taste? You can't. You're taking a risk of a prohibition. Hi, lo efshel mitameh. Here you don't have a chance to taste. Amalei Rav Papa l'Rava. So Rav Papa said back to Rava, what do you mean nobody can taste it? We have Baruch solution. Let's make Fela Arma. Let's have a Gentile chef taste. Milotna. Then we have a Mishnah. Kadei Rosh Abishal Babasar. If you have a pot and you cooked in it meat, Lo Yavashal Bachalav. You can't cook in it milk afterwards. If you did, Bishal, if you cooked in the pot after the meat, you cooked in the milk, but no same time. We have to see if there's a taste. Bishal Bachuma. If you use a pot to cook Chuma, Lo Yavashal Bachulin. Don't cook Chulin. Bishal, if you did, but no same time. We have to see if there's a taste. I mean, and we said, Bishlama Shuma, I can understand Shuma Taimle coin. You can have a coin taste to see if there's a taste. Elobasar Bechalav Man Taimle. But when you have the question of milk and meat, who's going to taste? Vamarlan, and we answered, Litzamek Fela. We can have a Gentile chef. Sachanami Litzamek Fela. See here too, let's have a Gentile chef taste. So the answer was, Hachanami. See here too, you know what we're talking about? Ki Kamina, what I'm talking about is the Leka Kfela, where there was no Gentile chef around to ask. If there's no Gentile chef around to ask, so then the taste of the blood goes into the bowl in which the meat was salted. And we don't have anyone to taste for us to tell us if the taste is still there into this food. So then the food, the boiling food that goes into the bowl, stays prohibited. But in a case of milk and meat, you have a meat knife and you use the meat knife to cut a radish. You can always have somebody taste the radish. And if the person tastes the radish and says that there's no taste of meat, then you can put that radish into cheese sauce. Okay, the next sugya that we're going to deal with, a very important sugya, is called the sugya of not bar not. No same time, bar no same time. Which is that if meat taste goes from the meat into the walls of a pot, and after it goes from the meat into the walls of the pot, it goes into potatoes. Because you had a fleshik pot, and you cooked potatoes in the fleshik pot. And now you want to mix these potatoes with cheese, it's okay. You can do that. Because since the taste has been diluted, it was first in meat. Then it went into the walls of the pot. And after walls of the pot, it went into the potatoes. So the potatoes are no same time, bar no same time. It got a taste from pot, which itself only got a taste from somewhere else. The taste is so diluted, you could have cheese with it. And that's not considered milk and meat. Okay, Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha.